97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Tool, and so you have to put in as many safety precautions as you can, and then you have to have precautions for if anything happens, and so first aid kits, things like that, and a little piece of frag bounced back and nicked somebody's arm, and we were able to treat it.
Yeah, that is a weapons expert and a Senate candidate Lucas Kuntz there talking about the incident this week where a reporter was wounded during their Second Amendment demonstration at a farm somewhere north of Kansas City. It would probably be an understatement to say that Senator Josh Hawley's been having just a little bit of fun with that. And we've got Senator Hawley on the line with us right now. Senator, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I mean, I don't want to get you triggered here or anything, but
how many puns can we use?
Lucas Kuntz really stepped in it this week.
I'd said that I know that the guy needed a shot in the arm, but this is really taking it a little far, I think. I mean, look, can you imagine, have you ever heard of a Senate candidate so desperate for attention that he will shoot a reporter? I mean, it is unbelievable. But when you look at the fake range that they set up, he talks about, oh, I was at a range. He wasn't at a range. He was in some guy's backyard, and he sets this stuff up. And, Mark, he's shooting an AR at a steel target 10 yards away, and he's got reporters standing downrange. I mean, really, we joke because the reporter, thankfully, was not seriously hurt, but he could have been killed. I mean, that shrapnel could have absolutely embedded him in his neck. And listen, it was tannerite, which is an explosive, sitting on the tables, also downrange. I mean, it's just, it is unbelievable. This guy, I do not believe in gun control, but I'm starting to think that, maybe we ought to have a red flag law just for Lucas Kuntz. I mean, maybe the guy really should not be around firearms.
I mean, no doubt this is going to come up at the debate you have scheduled for next week. It's actually on Halloween. And gosh, I want to watch this, but I'm wondering, how come you guys picked Halloween of all nights?
And even funnier now, I mean, given the circumstances, that's actually, I didn't pick the date. That's actually the date that the TV station's going to do it. But, listen, I'm looking forward to it. I've debated him once already, here's how well it went. After the debate, he sent out a press release complaining that I had showed up. So it was not a very good evening for him when we debated last. I'm looking forward to it. But listen, in all seriousness, this election is really, really simple. The question is, do you like the direction the country's going? I mean, do you want to double down on Kamala Harris? Because that's what Kuntz wants to do. He's in favor of every policy that she supports, from open borders to destroying American energy, giving us this runaway inflation, Medicare for illegals. So if you like that stuff, Kuntz is your guy. But I tell you, as I travel the state, people are desperate for a change.
Yeah, and oddly, in a general election year, he doesn't mention the leading candidate for his party.
Well, in fact, he won't even tell us who he's voting for. I mean, this is hilarious, Mark, when you think about it. Here's a guy in Kuntz who has called Trump a criminal, has called him an enemy of the people, has called for him to be locked up, but now won't say if he's going to vote for Kamala, and also has tried to mention Trump in some of his ads. Yeah. I mean, he wants to be a senator and represent the state of Missouri, but he can't even level with us about who he's voting for. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's pathetic. And you can be sure that that'll come up next week.
Yeah. Senator Josh Hawley, our guest, I wanted to play something that happened this week and get your reaction to it.
So yesterday we learned that Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president, he said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had.
Democrats have been accusing Republicans. I think they accused Paul Ryan, of all people, of this years ago. It's their go-to when they're losing an election. My bigger issue is she did that in front of the White House. Why isn't that a Hatch Act violation?
Well, and the other thing Mark, I would say about that is Donald Trump has been shot at twice now. There have been two assassination attempts on his life. And, of course, we all saw the one in which he was literally shot. A innocent American, a great American, was killed at that rally. And that the Democrats persist in this rhetoric that is clearly inflaming the wackos on their side who actually believe Trump is Hitler and want to go out and kill him. It is grossly, grossly irresponsible of Kamala Harris to do this. It tells you how desperate she is. She ought to immediately apologize to the nation. I mean, she apologized to Trump, of course, but to the nation for this kind of gross negligence. And all I can say is, as somebody said, whistleblowers from the Secret Service and others come forward to him, you know, I have seen the conditions here on the ground. President Trump, I believe, still not safe. I don't think that he's getting the protection he needs. And for her in this environment to go out and to encourage effectively further violence, which is what this rhetoric does, boy, it is wrong.
Yeah, well, Hillary Clinton's been doing the exact same thing. Also, you know, Senator, she has been discussing ending the filibuster. I mean, once again, an attempt to dominate or take over the United States Supreme Court, among other things.
Oh, this is somebody in Kamala Harris. You've got somebody who will destroy any institution that she can't control. And that's exactly what they want to do with the Supreme Court. And by the way, Lucas Coons here in Missouri, 100% for that. He also wants to abolish the filibuster and pack the court. So these are people who, oh, we don't like the Supreme Court. Let's just destroy it. Let's add 6 justices, 10 justices. Let's just make it our little plaything, destroy the independence of the judiciary. They'll do that with every institution that they cannot co-opt or coerce or control. And, Mark, it's dangerous. I mean, this kind of stuff, you know, we laugh about it and joke about it, but when you start calling Trump Hitler and encouraging violence, which is really what their rhetoric does, when you start talking about destroying our institutions and that our Constitution prescribes, like the Supreme Court, that is dangerous stuff. These people cannot be allowed to continue in power. This is why we've got to make a change here in 11 days.
Yeah. Senator, I would say that the Democratic Party that's been spending millions to try to defeat you must be feeling like they wasted a lot of money this week.
Well, you might say they shot themselves in the foot, but I tell you what, we're not taking anything for granted, though. We're all over the state. We've been on a bus tour going everywhere, Mark. We're going to continue to reach out to every single voter. And listen, we've got 11 days to go here. And once again, I think the question is, do you want to change the direction of this country? Or do we want to double down on the failed policies of Kamala and Coons? That is the key question. I think I know how Missourians are going to answer it. We've got 11 days to go.
Hey, and smart move. Props to you for getting Harrison Butker, because that was his first political endorsement, right?
Well, it was. And that's such an honor for me. I mean, Harrison Butker is such a man of integrity. Such a man of conviction. You could see it the way that the left attacked him for his conservative beliefs, his religious beliefs. He did not back down in the face of that. And to have his endorsement, we were able to campaign together all over the state. Boy, that's just awesome.
And I know your new campaign slogan for the next 9 days, Senator Josh Hawley, keeping reporters safe.
I've said I will provide protective gear, safety vests, protective eyewear for every reporter out there. Safety first, Mark. I mean, I don't want anybody else getting hurt. If you're going anywhere near Lucas Coons, for heaven's sake, wear a safety vest.
Be careful. All right. Senator Josh Hawley, thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
All right. I appreciate that. Great, great to get him on here this morning, and glad that we can have thank God nobody was killed, so we can joke about what happened, but it was a very serious issue. The Post-Dispatch covered it pretty fairly, actually, and even went and interviewed our friend Phil Balsamo, Carl, from the Range St. Louis
Hi,
West,
Phil.
The training manager, who said in this article in the Post, you know, we shouldn't, you should never shoot an AR-15 at a target less than 75 yards away if it's a metal target. And a clear violation of that on the farm there north of Kansas City. All right. Quick break here. We're going to be back. We're going to talk a bit more about Amendment 3. There is a convoy that's been planned to raise awareness about this around the area. We're going to get to that right after this. You know where I am on Amendment 3? Well, actually, basically all the amendments except 7. I'm a no on, because I've explained myself in my voter guide, and I hopefully you'll agree on all of that. But there is no bigger issue on this ballot after electing Donald Trump president of the United States than a no vote on Amendment 3. You cannot let these crazy leftists who are just absolutely head over heels in love with abortion put this into the Missouri Constitution. We cannot allow that to happen. They are outspending us, though, by tremendous amounts. And there's a convoy coming up that's going to be happening on November 2nd. And we wanted to give you a little more information on that. We've got Steve May on the phone this morning. And he's with the East Central Area Missouri Right to Life. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, my friend. Thank you for giving us a few minutes today. Where do we come up with the idea for this convoy?
Yeah, so it's just an idea that we had. You know, you see a lot of signs out there driving down the interstate, you know, stating to vote no on Amendment 3. But we just thought this would be another good way to get the word out there.
Yeah, I see the Trump convoys every once in a while. People driving around with the flags on their cars and their trucks, and kind of describe where this is going to start down near Eureka on November 2nd, right about 9:30 in the morning.
Absolutely. So arrival time will be at 8:30, and we'll start off. We'll meet up at the commuter lot in Eureka, Missouri. That address is 201 East 4th Street. So arrival time will be around 8:30, that'll give us a little bit of time to get the signage on the vehicles and the American flags. So we've got enough signage for up to 100 cars. You know, if we end up with more cars than that, we'll get some additional signage.
Yeah.
We'll start up there, and from there we're going to go up to 270 and basically just take the interstate loop, or I should say the loop of interstates, going 270 north up to 70, then we'll take 70 to Wentzville, and then hit 64 and go back down to 270, and then we'll finish in Eureka where we started.
I'm curious what you've been hearing as you're, I'm assuming, talking to people about this issue, because I wonder how many people have actually read the specific wording that would be in our Missouri Constitution, because to me it's not just what is said in it, but what's not. The fact is it's vague intentionally so that they can kind of find, you know, loopholes and things like that.
Right, exactly. No, that's 100% what we're seeing. I mean, I think the whole basis, their whole game plan here is just to deceive in every way possible, because that's the only way this thing would pass. Because if they actually spelt out what they're trying to do here on the ballot, you know, on this amendment, there's no way that it would pass on November 5th. So we're really just trying to get as much awareness out there so, you know, people can delve in a little deeper on the on this amendment and just learn what it's really, really all about.
Yeah, I know obviously this isn't being done as a fundraiser, but you are asking people to make donations just to offset the cost of the signs, right?
Right, yeah, just a small donation we ask. And if it's, you know, if there's people out there that, you know, are, you know, a little tighter on money, we'll definitely, you know, work with them on that. But yes, the whole... yeah, our whole intent on this event is just to, you know, get as many eyes as we can on the vote no on Amendment 3. Because, I think really,
yeah,
talking to people here over the last few weeks, you know, there's some people that just don't really know a whole lot about it.
Yeah.
And I think we find that with these amendments going into Election Day, that it's kind of, you know, the big focus is on the, you know, the candidates and the, you know, a lot of the federal stuff. But sometimes I think these amendments get passed up in the research, and then you've got the confusing language on the ballots.
Could not agree more. Steve May, our guest here, we appreciate your time. Again, November 2nd, it's a Saturday. They're going to start gathering around 8:30 for this convoy down at the Eureka commuter lot, which is right there at 109 and 44, just a little bit to the west on the south outer road, sort of near that QT down there. And people can get down there, get a sticker or a flag, and take part in it. Steve, there is a Facebook page called the No on Amendment 3 Convoy Facebook page, right?
That's correct. You can find us on the No on Amendment 3 Convoy Facebook page, or if you want any additional information, you can give me a call at 314-580-9802.
All right. We appreciate it. Steve May, thanks for what you're doing.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Mark, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yep. Hope people take part in that. It's a Saturday, November 2nd. So, yeah, you should all get out there and show your support. Coming up, it's time for Wiggins America. Stay tuned.
Use just a little help now. You can't start a fire. without a spark. This gun's for hire, even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
I thought Bruce Springsteen had had a stroke when I first heard that. It didn't sound like him at all.
Man, that's rough. That's, you know what that sounds like? If you've ever been to a concert and somebody's playing and the monitor's like a second behind what you're hearing, that's what that sounds like. Like somebody didn't do their job right.
I jokingly said I wondered if Mark Reardon, that's why he was off, because he wanted to fly out and see his buddy Springsteen. But I know he would never go to a Kamala
Harris. Well, maybe he's going to the Beyonce event. Concert tonight in Houston that Kamala will be making an appearance at.
You're a classic rock guy. Do you like, outside of politics, do you like Springsteen?
You know, he had one or two songs that I didn't mind listening to over the years, but I've never been to one of his concerts.
I'm the same way. I've just never understood. There are people who love him.
Long show.
But I've never gotten the, outside of politics, I just don't really get it.
To me, he's like Huey Lewis of Huey Lewis and the News. I have no idea what Huey Lewis politics are, but after about the third song, they all sound the same to me. So I don't care. I mean, it's the voice or something that... You know,
not the same generation.
Born in the USA, I didn't mind that song, but beyond that, I'm not been a big fan.
I feel the same way about Radiohead. Like that was my generation, and I was like, okay, cool, but I'm not really that into it.
Yeah. Like Creep, and that's about it.
I mean, a couple, you know, Karma Police.
Yeah, I feel that way about like NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys, because that was my era.
Not the same.
You just don't like the deep cuts. You just like the radio
right,
stuff.
Right. Yeah.
The deep cuts. Do they have deep cuts?
I don't know.
No, for sure. So we've been obviously, 9 days out now from the election. Kim and I were telling our story about standing in line yesterday to vote out in our neck of the woods in St. Charles County where they don't have it figured out yet. And it took me an hour and 45 minutes in line to vote. And once I was there, I wasn't about to leave because I'm like, well, hell no. I'm here. I've committed the time. I'm going to go ahead and get it done so I don't have to worry about it next week. And I was there for a long time. Thank goodness the weather was good.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, it's been great weather. It's a little rainy this morning, but it's been a nice week.
Yeah.
But once you get halfway through a line, regardless of how long it is, you go, well, now I can't waste the time I've just done waiting. So even if it's a 3-hour line, you're like, I'll stick out the extra hour and a half now.
Yeah. So you love looking at the polls like I do and trying to figure things out. Demographically, like I'm listening to these sound bites from Scott Jennings and some of the analysts on here talking about which groups she's clearly now only focusing on a couple of groups that she thinks she might be able to still convince them to vote for her. But I don't know who they are. I'm like Mel Gibson, who said she's got the IQ of a fence post. How can you vote for her?
I saw that yesterday, too. It's interesting because the headlines, everybody's seen that Hispanic vote is moving toward Trump. He may not win the Hispanic vote, but, you know, just the fact that 10 points, 20 points is moving. I mean, it's massive.
Yeah.
And then the same with the black vote, specifically black men are moving toward Trump at a record pace. I mean, almost that I've never seen in our lifetime. And then, you know, you have Kamala Harris at the beginning of this week, and she's doing so much damage control. It's crazy to watch in the last couple weeks of a campaign because they're so on message all the time. It's all they do is just the same 30 minutes of speech, you know, over and over and
Donald
over.
Donald Trump bad.
Yeah.
Bad Donald Trump. Donald
Hitler.
Trump bad.
To
Hitler.
See them shift a little bit Fascist. This week, what happened on, I think it was Sunday, was at a rally, somebody yelled out, "Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord," at her rally. And she says, "I think you're at the wrong rally."
I heard that.
And then all of a sudden her campaign goes, "Oh, no." So every interview she's been doing this week, she's been talking about, "Well, I talked to my pastor this week."
Mm-hmm.
My faith
is
really
important.
Encouraged me. Yeah.
I don't know if you ever heard of the Book of Esther, but for such a time as this, like that was the whole
thing. She seriously tried to quote Esther?
That was it. And
oh,
so,
my gosh.
You know, it's been interesting. And so who knows how that's going to affect. It's too quick to see it show up in polling. But, you know, they break these polls down by demographic groups. Christians, they break into even further. They break them into Catholic. They break them into evangelical. They break them into regular church attending evangelical. And if you hear the word evangelical, that means you're talking about politics. I don't know any Christian that calls themselves an evangelical.
I always refer to myself as that way.
Outside
always.
Of politics. But here's one that they haven't been reporting much. much. This is from CNN. Last time around, Joe Biden won independent voters by 11 points. I don't even know if I remember that. In September of this year, though, a month ago, Kamala Harris was up just 5 points among independents. Now, as in a month later, she's only up by 1 or 2 points, which means it's basically statistically even. So that 11-point lead that Joe Biden had among independent voters has been completely erased, essentially, at this point.
I wonder, and I've wondered this many times on my show, who are these independent voters? Who are they?
It's a great question. I think these have to be people who just wake up and stick their finger in the air and go, what's happening today? You know, I can't imagine having, even if you're just a one-issue voter, which most of us are not, but even if you just have that one issue that's what takes you to the polls, you pretty much know how you're voting.
I would think. It's never been more clear-cut. I had a conversation with somebody on Facebook the other day, and, you know, I usually try to keep my show views on my show page and not so much on my private page, my personal page on Facebook. And I finally can't stand it. I've got all these crazed friends who are on the left, and I've just had to go on and comment. And I don't want to hear, let's just all get along, like the whole kumbaya thing. Why can't we just all get along? I'm like, listen, you can choose to ignore politics. Politics is not going to ignore you.
Mm-hmm.
That your life is going to be impacted by these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the middle of the road, because the only thing you normally see there are dead critters, mm-hmm, right in the middle of the road. Don't be in the middle of the road. Pick a side.
I don't even know if it's as much that they're not sure who they want to vote for. I'm convinced a lot of these independents, because I used to try to call myself an independent in between, you know, when I was definitely Democrat and now obviously conservative. And I feel like it was almost a pride thing of like, no, I don't associate with one political.
Politics.
Yeah, like I'm above that. I'm going to make sure I'm voting for the person with the right policies. I'm not just going to automatically give my vote to the Republican candidate. So I don't know, again, if it's as much that they're undecided. I think a lot of these quote unquote independents, if you look at their track record, probably are pretty consistent. It's almost like I'm above that. And I'm sorry if that's you who's an independent voter, but that's kind of my analysis of some of those people.
Even independent voters, if you look at their track record of voting, those who vote regularly, some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
But those who do, they tend to break for one party or the other. They just like calling themselves independent.
That's what I mean. It's almost like a pride thing. Like, I'm above that.
Exactly. And so to
see
that,
you have to win my vote over. I'm not just going to automatically give it to you.
Yeah. To see a 10-point swing from 2020 to now to Trump among independent voters, that's actually pretty significant. And you're seeing that. That's what's amazing. That's what I wanted to bring in here today, is that you're seeing this. I can't think of a demographic group right now that's moving toward Harris.
No, furries.
See, I haven't polled furries.
You should.
It's really hard because
it's
see
a growing
them
population.
In the wild, they're not always wearing the suit.
Well,
you don't know who to poll.
That's true.
And I tried talking to regular animals, and they don't even vote.
They don't? Well, shoot. Let me know when you get those results.
Progressives for furries. Yeah.
It's murderers for illegals for Harris.
You said illegals for Harris is probably one group moving toward
it. I should put a sign like that in my yard.
Ryan, remind people when they can listen to Wiggins America.
Yeah, Saturday morning 7 to 8 and Sunday night 7 to 8.
And you podcast those too, because you had Dennis Prager on recently, right?
Yeah, I had Dennis Prager last week if you want to listen.
Outstanding. Ryan Wiggins, thank you.
No problem.
All right, back here in just a minute.
Always remember, if you ain't first, last.
That's right. Remember that, because if you don't vote, you could be last. Go get in line and vote somewhere. My buddy Joe this morning just sent me a picture from the Cliff Cave voting location down in South St. Louis County. He estimates there's probably 200 people in line down there.
Wow, already?
Right. Yeah.
That's great. I love to see this turnout.
They're showing up. I'm assuming the polls opened at, I don't know what time they're opening.
8:30 maybe?
8 or 8:30,
I don't know.
I guess. Anyway, get out, vote, download the voter guide if you need to. Make sure that you get your vote counted. We're told things are going to be better in St. Charles County next week. Right, Kim?
I'm not going to hold my breath.
But anyway, Kim and I have voted now. Carl, have you voted yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Drove by Booter Library yesterday, and their parking lot was packed.
Was
yes.
full. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sue Thomas, how are you?
I am fine, thank you.
What is going on History of the Lou with Sue this weekend?
I want to thank you for asking that, Mark.
Sure, absolutely. That's what I'm here for. I'm here for you.
We are talking about the history of the St. Louis Browns. And we had this, of course, is the anniversary of the 1944 World Series, where it was all St. Louis.
Yeah.
The only time in history. And it was the St. Louis Browns versus the St. Louis Cardinals, and they both played in the same stadium. So can you imagine you would just go there for either all games in St. Louis in the same stadium? And I've got Ed Wheatley in, and we all know Ed, who's just a well-known sports historian, especially about St. Louis. And he talks about it, and I brought him in. I was like, okay, Ed, let's talk about the St. Louis Browns. But I thought, okay, we can do one piece on that. No, it goes back so far, and there were so many iterations. I think I caught it, but the one set of the Browns that came to St. Louis was actually from Milwaukee, and when they left here, they went to Baltimore. I mean, it's incredible. At one point in Major League Baseball, all shortstops, all second basemen were wearing the same color hats. Like, each player had a different color hat on a team. But that was throughout the entire league. You could tell who was playing what base by what color hat they were wearing.
I never knew
it's
that.
All really interesting stuff. Well, so that's going to be on this weekend.
So when can people listen?
Let's see. On KMOX, 1 p.m. on Sunday, and on 97.1, 6 a.m. on Sunday. And I don't think we're back yet at 6 p.m. yet, but that will start next week. This week is still 6 a.m.
Is it available for podcast?
Yep. Odyssey.com. Just look in the podcast because it's just really fascinating. And it's all pro St. Louis. And it's just wow. Plus, you know, Branch Rickey and the farm system started here.
Yep. That's true.
So we cover that as well and what really happened because he really was going to do it with the Browns and the Browns were too cheap. So he went to the Cardinals and the Cardinals said, yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. And then suddenly it took off nationwide.
Yeah, paid off, yeah. History of the Louis Sue. You can always look it up on the Odyssey app if you want to. Sue, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You guys too.
Absolutely.
Bye, Sue.
Yeah. Bye, Sue. Bye. Hey, listen. I got a treat coming up for you on Monday. In fact, Kim and I are getting ready to talk to this young lady here in just a few minutes after the top of the show. You know, we've talked a lot about immigration. It is the number one issue for a lot of people it's neck and neck with the economy, mm-hmm. right? Bidenflation wearing you down at the grocery store, gas prices, just the cost of living having gone up 25% in the past 4 years because of inflation. That's big for a lot of people. Immigration is the other one. People see drugs coming in, their jobs being taken, American taxpayer dollars being handed out like candy to people being put up in hotels while homeless veterans are still on the street. It's offensive to American citizens when they see that. It should be. I happen to share an Uber ride one day with this lady you're going to meet, Evelyn, and we struck up a conversation. And she's an immigrant, and she had very strong views on all of this. She's been here for 16 years, and you know it's amazing. You can be born in this country and not appreciate the gift that you were given with your place of birth. Like just being born an American is a gift that 99% of the world, 95% of the world will never know mm-hmm. that freedom, that opportunity. And all we do is complain. I just about said the B word. All we do is complain that we don't have enough or we don't have opportunity or we're oppressed or whatever. You have no idea. And when you hear her story, it's going to drive that home for you, I hope. And maybe you play it back for some of your friends who complain and moan all the time about how the system works against them. She is the American success story. Everybody's success story, everybody's American dream is going to be different. I'm going to introduce you to her on Monday, so be sure and tune into the show then. And I can't wait for you to hear her story. It's impressive. In the meantime, download the voter guide, 971talk.com. Get out there and vote. Find your local polling place. You can absentee vote with no excuse right now. Let's book as many of these votes as we can. Here, Missouri, Southern Illinois, get out there and get it done. There's no excuse. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Beautiful weather expected parts of next week as well. There's just no reason to wait. Brian Kilmeade coming up next. Then, of course, Annie Fry will be in here a little later. The Reardon Show. I think Ryan Recker's in today from 3 until 6. Have a great weekend. Kim, Carl, Sue, and I'll see you back here Monday.
Get more at 971talk.com.